The Extra Mile Podcast. Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast. In this podcast, we follow the progress of fellow runners across the globe as they train for 5Ks, 10Ks, half or full marathons. Visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com and send us your email or audio files at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com.
Welcome to episode 95 of the Extra Mile Podcast. This is your host, Kevin. Today is, it's Tuesday, the 20th of March. And it's about 11 o'clock in the morning. And I'm out on a really pleasant day here in Cincinnati. About 77 degrees. Very cool breeze going on, chased by little dogs. Good day. My training, same old, getting about 35 miles a weekend, 5-6 days a week, but nothing special, just plodding along. No plans of any races, going anywhere from a 3-1 to a 5-1 ratio these days. Today happens to be one of my twin boys' birthday. In case you're new to the show or have forgotten, I happen to have two sets of twins. A set of older, identical boys who turned 28 today. And surprise, surprise, a set of 3-year-old girls who turned 3 about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, no. I have 7 kids, by the way, and 5 of them have birthdays in March. I know what you're doing now. You're trying to work the math in your head and count backwards 9 months and see what kind of special occasion there might have been in that month. I don't know. I can't answer the question either. Anyway, my son and I are meeting for lunch today, and besides that very cool event I'm looking forward to, he happens to work really close to where my old office was, as well as the old gym that I used to belong to and still have a membership at. And so going to lunch with him today gave me the bright idea to come down here a little bit early and get a run in and then meet him for lunch. Which, that one's big, but he's chained up. And that one's a little and not chained up. Anyway, where was I? As Nigel would say, I've lost my thread. Oh yeah, lunch with my son. So, one of the nice things I got to do is run in the old neighborhoods where I used to run daily almost for so many years. And these neighborhoods here near my old office are perfect running neighborhoods. If you're from Cincinnati or know anything about the town, I'm running through Hyde Park, just a gorgeous old part of town. Lots of money. Large, gorgeous sidewalks, lots of flowers, older homes. Just very nice. And as you can tell, I'm about the only one here without a dog. Anyway, it's a really pleasant run. I'm so glad to be able to get away from my house and run every now and then. Did you ever notice what an amazing difference the actual course you're running makes to how your run goes? Let me ask you this question. Think about the five most memorable runs and what's unique about them. To me, it's the place I was running. You know, it's not, hey, I ran, you know, a sub 6 minute or 7 minute mile this day, had a great hill workout. It's always where I happen to be. Which leads me to the question, where are your favorite runs? If I had to stop and think of mine, a few favorites, I think Chicago would be on the top, or near the top, running along the lakefront through the Lincoln Park Zoo. That's a neat, neat course to run. San Francisco's up there, along Fisherman's Wharf. Kind of stinky, but just a great place to run. So, share, will you? Tell us some of the neatest places that you've ever run. And by the way, those of you who have perhaps tried to call the comment line in the past couple weeks and bit us only to get a recording that the hotline was no longer in service, I apologize. I got a submission and an email yesterday. I think it was from Jim. It said he had tried to call the comment line and got a disconnect notice on it, which I had no idea about. So I checked it out. Come to find out, the voicemail service that I use, if it's not used in a 30-day period, they cut it off. Which kind of surprised me that that comment line had not been used in the last month, because I'm getting a lot of submissions. So I went back, did a little investigating. Turns out that a vast majority of you are emailing me audio files, which of course is great. But those of you who are calling and leaving a message at the comment line, you're using the Galloway Extra Mile comment line, which also is fine. They obviously both get to me, but you just have to remember monthly to go in and test that line, make sure they don't take it away. How about this? I give all of you homework. Every one of you has to call the hotline once a month just to make sure it doesn't get disconnected, huh? Anyway, I'm rambling.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Yeah, right, I can relate. Some really good submissions, all of them very good. There's a submission from our good friend Deborah down in Texas. And I want to warn you up front that there's a little bit of wind noise in her submission. So it's an amazing submission. Very touching. And she pretty much opens up her heart. So I'll warn you in advance, please push your earbuds in a little bit tighter and pay particular attention to what she has to say. Also have a great Disney half marathon report from our friend Derek, and some other race reports, which obviously points to the fact that it's spring and it's racing season. Another submission from our buddy Chris with some more advice and some talk of goose poop. Really good stuff. So check it out. Got something I want to talk to you about at the end. So stick around, huh? You'll enjoy your extra mile.
Hey there, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Deborah calling from outside of Austin. say last week I said, oh, I don't know when I'll call again. Well, here I am calling again. It's a week out, my half marathon, and my next race is in April, and it's a 10-miler. I don't really have a training plan locked in yet, but, you know, I wanted to get some miles and some time out on my feet. So I just headed out this morning for a two-hour run. I don't know, it'll probably be 9.5 miles, 9 miles by the time I get back in the OSHA. I'm done running. I'm just walking home to warm down. So that's about that. It was a good run. It was also a really contemplative run. I was thinking very much. This Wednesday, the 22nd, it was my wife's 40th birthday. Day of celebration and happiness. And I got to see her before I left for work for a few minutes in the morning. She woke up early enough that I could see her. Then I gave her presents and saying happy birthday. And then just after lunchtime, my wife called. I figured she was just calling to give me a report on how chess club had gone. We're homeschoolers and the kids go to a chess club on Wednesdays. And when I answered the phone, she was crying. And I didn't really have any idea what was going on. So it turns out one of the families that we're friends with, they go to chess club and they do our birthday parties, and the mom is one of my wife's best friends. The little boy, the 10-year-old, seemed sick. I mean, he had the flu or a sore throat, and he was getting worse Wednesday morning, so the mom took all four kids and took him to the ER and was, chatting with him. He was lucid. He was talking to her. And then he flatlined, and he died. And, it's just this completely unexpected thing. It's really a freak, strange, horrible thing. And the medical examiners are now saying they think that he had leukemia that was undetected. And so when he got an infection, his body couldn't fight it. And, they've reassured the mom that there's absolutely nothing she could have done earlier, that it wouldn't have mattered if she brought him to the hospital days earlier, hours earlier, that this is what was going to happen. But still, it's just, it's a really horrible thing, and it makes you, here I am every morning and every night laying down with my children to put them to bed and just hugging them extra long and extra hard and feel for them so much. I guess my point is, this is really about running, obviously, but I guess, and just, things like that can happen, and it's unexpected, and please, when you get time to run, and you're hugging your children, your wife, your husband, or whoever, just a long hug, and just love each other a little bit more, because that's, things like this happen, and that's all we can do. So, that's it. And I hope you're enjoying your run, and I hope you're enjoying each other. Peace.
Hi, all you extra milers. This is Sarah calling in from West Boston on a snowy day. It's March 1st, and I'm calling in with a race report and an update on how things are going for me. First, the race report. I went down to Jacksonville to cheer for some folks who are going to be running the full 26.2 with Donna, and I actually grew up in North Florida, so it was an opportunity to go down and see family and some friends, but I was happy to be able to run in the 5K. Some of you may remember I had some issues with a hypermobility diagnosis last year, and I'll give you a brief update on that, but at any rate, I ran the 5K and had a fantastic time. It was a beautiful course. The weather was perfect, especially coming from winter down into Florida's version of winter, at least on Saturday. I ran not a PR. It was 36 minutes and I believe 40-something seconds. But one of the observations I had was in a race like this, sometimes when I'm running in New England and the Boston area and I run, let's say, a 35-minute or whatever 5K, and I'm like second to last. And for a long time, it's had me kind of down because it makes me reluctant to get out and enter events because I'm always bringing up the end of the pack. And not that I have trouble being the pace that I am, but it's frustrating when you run a race and you don't even get water or something like that. But it was nice to kind of come in in the middle of the pack this time. In fact, I was ranked higher than I ever have in a race as far as my age group, and it was a bit of a thrill. So I just wanted to put that out there for people. You know, sometimes you get frustrated in a race because you feel like you're not doing well, but you really are racing against yourself, and it's all a matter of who you're around and the culture of the running and the weather and all of that that's in the area at the time. So I had a lot of fun at the 5K, and the weather was totally crazy on Sunday. For those of you that ran it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It was cold. And of course, I didn't bring a jacket because I was going to Florida from Boston. So I had on every bit of fleece and tights and everything I could find to stay warm as I was ringing cowbells on the beach, cheering folks on. But it was a really great race. I think there was some trouble with buses and they had a delayed start. But other than that, from what I understand from the folks I talked to, it was a fantastic time. Congratulations to Clydesdale Running for doing your first full marathon down there. I think that I saw you at one point. I think I saw your name on a bib, but I wasn't 100% sure. So that was the 26.2 Adana weekend. I'm hoping to run in 2013 at least something more than a 5K. I would love it if they added a 10K event to that weekend, but I don't know if that's feasible or not. Kevin, you may want to tell Donna that when you talk to her. As far as my training is going, one of the problems I'd had last year, I got diagnosed with hypermobility, which I realize is not uncommon, but it's certainly not super common either. And one of the problems was that I also had glutes that weren't firing properly. So I've been working diligently on that with my personal trainer. And one injury that I've had that's kind of been nagging since about August of last year was kind of my right hamstring has just been burning and tingling, and nothing I do makes it any worse, but it never really gets any better either. And someone had referred me to trigger point therapy, and having done ART with a chiropractor for a little while, and I stopped going because it just was getting too costly, quite frankly. The results were good, but it was too expensive, and the pain would return or the irritation would return. So on the trigger point therapy, they recommended a book, and I got the book off Amazon, and I followed their instruction to use a tennis ball or a lacrosse ball while sitting on a wooden chair to massage the hamstring, and I was amazed at how much better my leg feels now just with that type of trigger point massage. So if you're interested, it's something to look up. You can look up on your favorite search engine, trigger point massage, and see if you are able to find out anything. I know we all kind of do it ourselves with foam rollers on our IT bands and quads and things like that, but for those hard-to-reach places, this is a great reference guide as to where your trigger points are, where the referential pain might be, and then how to address it. So that's what's going on with me as far as racing and training. I've registered for the Boston Athletic Association distance medley, which means you run the 5K, 10K, and the half marathon. And I ran the 10K last year and really, really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to that this year. And I'm looking for some other races to run here in New England. Don't really know when or where or what I'll do. I want to stick with 10Ks and halves probably for this year as I recover. But one last piece on the trigger point thing. I know I'm rambling, but just to kind of tell you the difference that it made once I had massaged that hamstring and didn't have the tingling and the burning, I typically run, you know, middle 12, like a 12 and a half minute, 13 minute mile when I'm doing my 2 to 3 mile run in the morning. And I ran an 11 minute, 54 second pace, which for me is truly race pace. So I'm excited. I'm encouraged. It's a new year, and I'm hoping that everybody is doing well and has a great season. And I look forward to calling back in soon. Thanks, everybody.
All right, so this is your friend Chris here, leaving the track. 3 weeks into the Chris Rumble. What the hell? What did I just run over? I just ran something over. It's very windy today. Something blew under my car. Let's see what it was. I hope it wasn't a small child. Or a dog. Or a cute bunny. I'll be right back. Good news. It was the earthly remains of a child's soccer ball. it's gone to a better place. So, yeah, 3 weeks into the Chris Russell comeback tour, I just did 9 Yasso 800s on my local track here. I was going to do them inside because it is only March something, March 9th, not March 8th, and there was snow on the ground, but we got this bizarre 60-degree day today. And so I scooted down to see if the snow was off the track, and sure enough, it was. But we have, so it's nice and warm, but we get this howling wind, like 20-mile-an-hour gusty, swirling wind, this warm air. So I'm running in shorts and a T-shirt and a, you know, regular old cap, and it was kind of weird, though, running in this wind, because it just would stand you up on every third length of the track. Still did pretty well. Felt pretty strong. Did 9 of those, so a total of, I don't know, what's that? I don't know. Let's call them miles. I'm going to go metric to English on you here. You can round down by about 50 feet a mile, but it would end up being about 7.5-8 miles. So, yeah, that was pretty good. But this wind, yeah, it was amazing. And you wonder in these big races when they say it's a windy day and you see it takes 1, 2, 3 minutes off the racer's times, you can sure see it. It was when it was blowing hard, the difference between my 800 times, I was doing 800s, and the difference between my 800 times, just having it blowing hard at me on one length. So there's four directions on a track, right? A track is oval, and one of the straightaways is into the wind. And when it was blowing hard, it made a 3-second difference in my 800 time, which is, you know, it's not insignificant, right? So that's 6 minutes on, 6 seconds on a mile, which is not insignificant. And I think, you know, I've been in races, you know, long races, marathons before, where there's been a howling, swirling wind that you had to run into, and it really knocks people out. And it's not just the resistance that knocks people out, it's that it stands them up and it changes their form. So you really have to focus on your form, because it changes your foot strike and it changes the mechanics. And that was really screwing me up, not only the headwind, but the side wind, right? So it actually pushes you sideways off the track, or makes you kick yourself on your follow-through. So really interesting, but I'm pretty happy with my progress. You guys might or might not remember that I was off my feet for 6 months with a little plantar fasciitis, but I seem to have pulled myself through that nut hole, and I'm spinning it up for Boston. I enjoyed listening to you folks, all you folks from Texas and Virginia that do all this running out here on the Extra Mile Podcast, and God love you, Kevin. Hope everything's going well. And hope your babies are okay and your family's well. And Buddy was down here with me, but I could only let him run my warm up and my cool down because there was kids out here on the track. And even though he's a he's technically a border collie, he's also a soccer ball and tennis ball collie as well. So I can't really have him mixing with the public when I'm trying to do speed work. And he but at least the goose poop was all cleaned off with the snow. Because when we're down here and it's frozen, the goose poop's like little green grass treats for him. He loves them. So I guess you didn't need to hear that. Yeah. All right. Going home. Stretch out. Rub down the old legs. Yeehaw. Ciao.
Hi, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Tom calling from Carrboro, North Carolina. And I'm just training for the Tar Heel 10 miler, which will be in Chapel Hill on April 21st, I believe. And that will be my longest race, and actually first race, I think, since one in Thanksgiving, but I've been running anywhere from 5 to 8 miles every weekend. I did injure myself on the ski slopes. Luckily, it was just a strain. I hit a tree. I don't know if skiing and running really mix, but one of the reasons I decided to give a little bit of a report was to talk about my mentoring. I mentor with the Fleet Feet Running Group in Carrboro, North Carolina, and I really enjoy that. I'm kind of a group leader of a group. We're called the turtle train. I guess you could pretty much sum up from that that we're not the fastest of the bunch, but I've had just a great time trying to give my and I'm not I don't have a lot, but some of my knowledge about running, and it's really rewarding to be a running mentor, and I really would recommend it to anybody who has some experience that wants to share that and can do that with different running groups in your area. So that's basically what I'm planning on doing is the Tar Heel 10 miler and maybe a half marathon in the fall, and that's about it. Thanks.
Greetings, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Derek from Oroville, California, in the foothills of the beautiful Sierra Nevada, with a race report. On February the 26th, my wife and I ran in Disney's Princess Half Marathon in beautiful Walt Disney World. If you like Disney, you're going to love this race. The beginning was a little bit chilly, but that quickly resolved itself as we started running. And I'll tell you, I'm one of those people that just has to have earbuds in their ears when they run. I can't stand the sounds of my own footsteps. It's totally mind-numbing to me. But at the behest of some people, they told me, leave the earbuds out. And so I did. I tucked them in my shirt while I was in the start corral, and they never came out the entire race. About every half a mile, there was something to draw your attention, whether it was a Disney character, stilt walkers, bands, you name it. There wasn't a part of the course where I was bored. And of course, you get to run through the Magic Kingdom, up Main Street, USA, around and back through the castle. And then at the end, you get to run through Epcot, down to Seven Seas Lagoon, and back out to a wonderful finish. It was my first half marathon in a race, and it was my first half marathon finish. It was a fantastic experience. And the only thing that was really kind of bad about it was when I got to the finish line and I looked up, and even though I was elated that I was going to finish my first half marathon, I was sad that it was going to be over. The race was that much fun. Well, got one in the bag, and I got it in under 3 hours. Sorry, Jeff, you said I needed to run this one just to finish, but in the back of my mind, I had that 3 hour time that I needed to break 2 hours, 57 minutes, and some change. So I got my first one in. Now it's looking onward and upward to the Newport Marathon in Newport, Oregon in June. And in the meantime, stay true to your training, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Hey, all you extra milers, it's Stuart here from the Quadrathon blog and podcast out in sunny Southern California. Just dialing in with a quick race report from a couple of weeks ago. The first weekend in March, I drove out to Palm Springs and took place in my very first triathlon. I'm not sure I've ever heard anyone send in a triathlon race report, so maybe I'm the first here. Anyway, it was my very first triathlon. And the first of this year and first ever. It was a sprint distance, so it was pretty short. 500 meter swim, a 14 mile bike ride, and a 3 mile run. And so really to kind of distill it down for you, the swim, not so good. The bike, pretty good. And the run, pretty good as well. Essentially the swim, oh my goodness, I just wasn't prepared for the coldness of the water. It was a wetsuit swim. I double capped to try and keep my head warm. The water temperature was forecast to be sort of mid-60s. It was probably close to early 60s. And as soon as I got 100 meters out, and it was just absolutely really, really cold, which kind of threw me for a loop. And so I, you know, best described as got through it. I think it's probably the best way to describe it. I had set myself a goal of kind of finishing the swim in around 12 minutes. Swimming is not the, it's the weakest of the three sports for me. And I came in just under 20, which kind of goes to show how bad it was. I managed to get through first transition in a little over 3 minutes. Lots of stomping on my wetsuit to get it off. jumped on my bike and headed out. Had a really good bike, all things considered. I was determined to kind of make up for having had such a poor swim. It was a little disheartening to get into transition and see that mine was one of only two or three bikes left on that rack. I wasn't the last person for my age group, but I wasn't close off of it. So the 14-mile bike ride I managed to get done in a little over 40 minutes. I averaged about 20 and a half miles per hour, so I was very pleased with that. And really just dug in and got on with it. Quick transition through T2, bike shoes off, running shoes on and so forth, and got through that in just over 2 minutes. And then it was a quick 3-mile run around the lake that we'd swum in the morning, or swum in earlier in the morning, I should say. And I managed to do the 3 miles in 21 minutes and 21 seconds, which was kind of neat. They weren't even splits. So I actually managed to go progressively faster through the 3 miles. So that was nice. And finished strong with a sprint finish. Needless to say, my swim kind of put me way back in the field. In terms of age group overall and goodness knows what else, but I wasn't really competing with anyone other than myself and the two hands on the clock. So good to get it under my belt. Lots of lessons learnt. I've concluded that my wetsuit's too small, and so I'm now looking for a bigger one. I also concluded that the water, whilst horribly cold, could have been mitigated somewhat in getting into it for longer. I actually got in to do a warm-up swim and probably just didn't spend enough time in there. A few lessons on the bike and a few lessons on the run. Carrying a little handheld water thing seemed to work very well. Excuse me. So yeah, that's that. Onwards, training continues. That week I'd had a fairly easy week, sort of a step back and taper week. And then race day on Sunday. So the following week, which would have been, I guess, last week now, I had a big week, came in with close to 17 hours of training, just under 200 miles all told, finished out the week with a century ride, unsupported, you know, as in unorganized rather than just by myself. So I was pleased with that. Although I seem to be paying the price for such a big week this week, and my training's a little discombobulated, shall we say, feeling a little bit tired, so I'm kind of stepping back just a little, making sure I have more emphasis on the quality than the quantity this week. My next race coming up is in just over 2 months. That's another triathlon, Olympic distance this time, so upping the ante on the distances. That's a 1500 meter swim, a 24 mile bike ride, and a 6 mile run. So we'll see how that goes. As always, Kevin, thanks for the podcast. And to all your extra milers, look forward to hearing the race submissions that are coming in now that spring has sprung upon us almost, and the snow is melting in the more northern climes. All right, take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Howdy, extra milers. This is Jim from Runners Anonymous, the blog, YouTube page, and now the very flashy Runners Anonymous, the podcast, which can also be found on iTunes. No small help from our buddy Nigel. Yes, the same Nigel that you hear at the beginning of this program here. So thank you very much, Nigel, for helping me figure out how to get the sucker onto iTunes. It's been very helpful. Anyway, so I'm taping this here on the 19th of March, so this is exactly 1 month from the time that I'm going to be hopping on a plane to go to Kansas City to travel for the Garmin Marathon, which is in Olathe, Kansas, which is a suburb, actually, of Kansas City. It's to the southwest of the city. And just absolutely looking forward to this, getting more excited every single day. Did a 20-miler last week in preparation for the marathon. Probably going to do another one in about a week to 10 days. My actual taper for the marathon will start on March the 31st. That's exactly 3 weeks out because I like a 3-week taper. Some plans say that you should do a full month I get way too anxious before a marathon. There's no way I could absolutely tolerate a full month of taper. And to be quite honest, there's no way my wife could tolerate me for an entire month of a taper. Like she puts it, I tend to bounce off the walls during the taper. And the closer to the marathon, the worse I bounce. So that's it for me. But training is going very well. Things in my life have probably been keeping me away from running more than anything else. Certainly not the weather. We're still having this freakishly warm, although I'm not complaining, weather for March. Matter of fact, my 20-miler I did, it was 80 degrees. It was like the 14th or the 13th of March, and it was 80 degrees outside, and I ran out of fluids. Not something I expect to happen to me in a run on March the 13th or 14th, certainly not here in the northern mid-Atlantic. Normal temperatures for us is more in the 50s. So that's it for me. Didn't want to just pass on. For anybody who is interested, again, I have a new podcast. You can find the page at runnersanonymouspodcast.blogspot.com, or you can go into iTunes and you can just put in Runners Anonymous dash the podcast, and you can find it on iTunes and listen to it. 10 people have already chose to subscribe, so whoever you 10 people are, thank you. Very happy that there's actually 10 people that thought it was interesting enough to subscribe to. So that's really cool. Got some more interesting things coming up on the podcast in future episodes, but you'll have to listen to the podcast to hear them now, won't you? So that's all I have. We'll be after the holidays when I next submit. So I want to wish all my Jewish friends a happy and healthy Passover. And to all my Christian friends, or it's also somewhat of a secular holiday now, happy Easter to everybody. Alrighty. Talk to you guys later. Gotta run.
Hello, Extra Milers. This is Dr. Pod. My real name is Andy White. I'm known as Dr. Pod on Twitter. That's D-O-C-T-O-R-P-O-D. And I'm a podcasting runner. So I've been running for pretty much all my life, but very on and off. I was inspired by listening to you guys, the Extra Milers, and I thought, I've got to contribute. So I'm training for the Brighton Marathon right now. Give you an idea of where I am. I'm in the UK. I live in Brighton. Just for those of you that don't quite know where Brighton is, it's the UK is shaped like a big boot with the toe pointing to the left, and London is kind of where you might expect the ankle bone to be, just up from the corner. Well, if you draw a straight line right down from London, where it hits the coast, that's pretty much where Brighton is. So we're right down there at the bottom. At the moment, I'm doing a little easy 5-miler, very, very modest pace. In fact, I'm doing a 13-minute pace at the moment, barely more than a walk, sort of a recovery run. It's all part of my training. Story is that about 2.5-3 years ago, we'd been in Brighton for a few years, and I was in my late 40s, and starting to look like a typical middle-aged bloke, you know the look. And I thought, I've got to do something here. So I thought, the only way I can run consistently, because I had run on and off throughout my life, is to get a running buddy. So I used Twitter, and I said, is anyone in the Brighton area up for becoming a running buddy? And we'll go 2 or 3 times a week. And long story short, the guy who I actually already knew stepped forward, and I was running with him for over a year, which was terrific. He was fitter than me, he was quite fast, so they tended to be shorter, faster runs. Anyway, about a year ago, last April 2011, we had the Brighton Marathon, and I got very inspired by watching the Brighton Marathon. And that, together with a couple of videos I discovered on YouTube, one of them was a chap who ran the Chicago Marathon with a camera on his head. He had one of those GoPro cameras on his head. And he did a time lapse of his Chicago Marathon run. So he compressed it down into about 6 minutes, which was tremendous. It really inspired me. And another video that inspired me was actually a trailer to a movie, which was it was a short trailer, but it just got me going. Anyway, long story short, I started training in earnest for the marathon. So I've been training for nearly a year now. Obviously the running has improved no end. I did the half marathon, the Brighton half marathon, a few weeks ago. That was the first half marathon I'd ever run. And I came in after they'd adjusted the time, because I don't know if you may have heard on the news, but did the 2012 Brighton half marathon. They got their measurement slightly wrong, and we all did about an extra third of a mile, which made the serious runners very cross. But anyway, after it was adjusted, my time was about 2 hours. I think it was 2 hours 21, which wasn't bad for a 50-year-old who'd never done a half marathon before, so I was quite pleased with that. And it was quite a strange half marathon for me, because I started off, if anything, I started a little too slow. And when we got to the about the one-third point, I realised that, you know, I had a lot left and I could be going a bit faster, so I sped up a bit. But then I sped up a little bit too fast, only a bit too fast. So the first sort of third half of the race was kind of very, I was trying to sort of pace myself, watching loads of people overtake me and thinking, ooh, am I getting this right? And then the second half of the race was going for it a bit more, overtaking a lot of people and thinking, ooh, I hope I'm not overdoing it. Anyway, by the time we got to the finish line, I was hoping to show off and do a sprint finish, which is never a good idea. And I didn't quite have it in me to do it. It felt like I was sprinting, but when I saw movers of myself coming in, I clearly wasn't sprinting. I was just pretty much going the same speed as everyone else. So, yes, interesting. So that was great. So we've got the main marathon, which will be my first full marathon, the Brighton Marathon 2012, coming up in about 4 weeks. I think it's about 4 weeks now, middle of April. And as I say, the training is going very well. On Saturday, a couple of days ago, I did my first 20 miler, which I actually put on YouTube as a rather lengthy video. And that felt okay. It wasn't too bad at all, actually. But yes, here I am. I mean, for me now, running has become sort of a lifestyle thing. And I tend to run, certainly while training, when I've got a definite goal in mind, I run about 4 times in the week, and a long one at weekends is a general pattern, unless I'm doing a really long one at the weekend, and I sometimes reduce it to 3 in the week. But as I say, I did a 20 miler a few days ago. I'll be doing a 15 miler this Saturday in a few days, and it's going really quite well. So as I run along the cliff top here, just on the coast in Brighton, to the east of Brighton, going past the famous Rodine School. I think it's famous. Lots of posh young ladies go there. So I'm running across these chalk cliffs. The temperature, I think, is about 8 or 9 degrees. It's slightly overcast today. It was gorgeous yesterday. I'm looking out over the English Channel. Steel grey water, very smooth. And I can see in the distance, you can't see France from here, it's too far away, but you certainly can from Dover. And I can see at the distance that it looks quite bright, so hopefully we'll get some of that bright weather coming over a bit later today. But yeah, I just wanted to touch base with you extra milers and kind of join in. And as I say, I was very inspired, and maybe I can do a bit of inspiring as well, join in the inspiring team and inspire some more people to come and try running. It's just made me think, actually, that when I first came to Brighton, which was in 2000, I came from London, as a lot of people do, I did actually apply to do the marathon, the London Marathon, got a place, and had to pull out because on my self-designed training, marathon training, I developed a knee problem, and it just, I didn't feel that my body was designed to do a marathon. But I've been getting some training now from a tremendous lady who's been a friend of mine for several years. In fact, we do a podcast together. I'll tell you about that at the end if you're interested. And she's got me on this train now. She's terrific. And she, her name's Julia Armstrong. If you want to check her on Twitter, it's just at Julia Armstrong. So there's two A's together there in the middle. And she was pretty well known in the 80s. In the 80s, she was known as Julia Gates, and she ran on behalf of the UK in the Commonwealth Games. And she's continued to run up until this day. I mean, she's just a couple of years older than me, but she's pretty amazing. In fact, she was recently abroad, and I think she came first in the ladies in 10K, so she's very, very good. I mean, she's kind of a six and something minute miler. So she's pretty good, but she's been training me. And thanks to her, she made me realise that actually I could do a marathon. And she got me on this training regime. I realised that actually I could do marathons. And if you build it up slowly, listen to your body, you know, measure your heart rate, build it up slowly like that, you can achieve sometimes things that you thought you couldn't. Obviously, you've got to be sensible. But basically, I was a middle-aged bloke, looking very middle-aged, you know, a bit of a belly, double chin, you know, whole nine yards. And now, sort of 2 years later, 3 years later, I'm told I look a lot different for the positive. And I enjoy my running. It's like a meditation for me. So that's it. I hope you find that so much inspiring. And while I've been talking to you, I've just realised I've overrun my mark. And this will end up probably being a 7 miler rather than a 5 miler, but never mind. In fact, what I might do is I might just carry on and do the cross-country return, which is a nice little sort of loop I do, where I come in, land a bit, and run over the lovely South Downs, the Chalkland, the rolling Chalkland hills that we get a lot of down here. I do a few podcasts if you're interested, the internet marketing one I produce, and sometimes I co-host on it. If you just search for internet marketing in iTunes, you'll see it. It's the one with the whose logo looks a bit like an RSS symbol, but it's purple. Other ones I do is podcastingadvisor.org. That's advisor or American spelling, O-R at the end. That's self-explanatory, but that is. And I also do another one. I've been doing it recently with Julia Armstrong, who's been training me. But the podcast is called The Bare Truth. So if you hop along to iTunes and search for The Bare Truth, I'm on that one with Julia as well. And it's got quite a distinctive cover. It's mainly blue in colour. You'll know what I mean when you see the cover. Enough said. But it's a great podcast. We have a good laugh. So that's it. I'm going to sign off now and wish you all the best. My fellow runners, keep going for it. Own the experience. And we'll see you soon again. Goodbye from Dr. Pod.
Episode 95 of the Extra Mile Podcast. On our way to triple digits. I want to talk to you about Facebook a little bit. I was on my personal Facebook page the other day, and actually, this is off the topic, but I noticed that I have about 250 friends on my Facebook page. And it made me realize that I have just about double that number of friends over at Daily Mile. I was wondering what it said about me that I have twice as many friends on Daily Mile as I do Facebook. I think I know, but what do you think? How many Facebook friends do you have versus Daily Mile friends? Anyway, I'm over at Facebook, and I was checking out the Facebook page for this podcast, and noticed that there were only about 210 likes on that page. Far, far less than the number of listeners we have. I don't feel like throwing numbers out, but just suffice, we have a lot more listeners than that. And I think the real reason is that we really haven't used the Facebook page to its potential at all. So I've got this idea, and it's actually a request or maybe a favor to ask. I'm thinking this Facebook thing is going to be around for a while. And what I'd like to do is make that Facebook page kind of an extension of this podcast. So what I'm asking is if you get along to our Facebook page, and I'll put that in the show notes today, the link to that, and give us a like, and then start using it to continue this community that we've built. I'd like you to be more active in posting what your upcoming races are. Give us your Daily Mile screen names. What race have you entered? What's the website of the race? Particularly if there's a way that we can follow you at that website, you know, track the runners live during the race. Maybe what your bib number is, what the goal is for your race. I can't tell you how many times somebody sends us a submission and they're going to run a race, particularly a big race that I know I could track them, and I write it down. I even put little reminders in my calendar so that early that morning on race day, I'll jump online and watch some of my favorite runners, see how they're doing. But also a lot of you that will tell us you've got an upcoming race and what it is, but it's really hard for me to, you know, write that down at the time. It'd be awesome if you'd go over to the Facebook page, like especially the day before. Hey, I'm running the Princess Half Marathon at Walt Disney World tomorrow. Hope to run a sub-2 hour. Here's the webpage you can follow me at, etc. You know, continue what we're building here over at Facebook. And then after you're done, follow up. Tell us how you did, maybe post some pictures of the race. I think it's a perfect way for us all to stay more in touch with each other. It doesn't have to be, you know, your upcoming race. It can be just about anything. Here's a good example. I'm gonna later on today post a note about a very good friend of yours and mine, a fellow runner by the name of Kit Palmer. He and his son have a special quest to run together and raise money for the neonatal intensive care unit at Children's Hospital in Savannah, Georgia. And I read his blog post about this, and it just, you know, gives you goosebumps when you think you've got a friend out there doing this kind of stuff. So that's my ask. Let's get this Facebook thing going, can we? Lastly, I wanted to mention our friend Derek, who today gave us the update on his half marathon. He's got a full marathon, his very first. He's training using the Galloway Run Walk Run. He's actually e-coaching with Jeff. But anyway, Derek is also putting together a series of videos talking about his couch to marathon journey using the Galloway method over at YouTube. And I'll stick a link to his YouTube page in the show notes today too. You ought to get along and check that out. He does a very, very good job, particularly if you are thinking about running a Disney race. He has a longer posting over there. I want to say it might be 20 minutes long, where he goes into some pretty good detail of his recent half marathon at the Princess. Anyway, check it out. So that'll do it for today's show. I appreciate you downloading the episode, taking us along, and hope to see you soon over there at Facebook. And until the next episode, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
On June the 16th, 2012, the Mojo Loco movement continues with the Liberty Loco.
Oh, this is Peter Herridge from Spikes, the podcast that I've created based in the southwest of England. And to further the idea of the Mojo Loco, I've decided I'm going to run my own event here in Somerset and Dorset and the edge of Devon in the UK. As I said, it takes place on Saturday the 16th of June this year. It'll be an all-day event starting at about 9 o'clock in the morning. And the idea is to run 28 miles on footpaths, roads and tracks. You don't have to run the whole distance because there's going to be a minibus in support. And if you want to drop out of any of the stages and just take a bit of a rest in the minibus, that's entirely fine with us. That's how we want people to do it, because it's a social event. It's not a race, there's going to be no first place, and in fact the first one home buys the beer. So it's just a fun event, a chance to get together and meet friends we've made in the virtual world of running. Places are limited, so if you are interested, send me an email at spikespodcast@gmail.com, and I'll certainly let you know if you've got a place in plenty of time to make all the travel arrangements, get across and see us, come and stay, make friends. Join the Mojo Loco movement. Hope to see some of you there. Bye for now. There's a world full of places, beautiful places. I wanna go.
Thanks for joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast. Please visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to send us your audio comments to let us know how your training is going, then please send an audio file to theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast.